I'm not 100% certain, but I believe it was in the 30s that they came out with the Beetle, isn't it, Jim?
I think so. Yeah.
Was it the 30s?
Yeah.
Ella?
About what?
The Beetle.
The
VW.
Yeah.
The Käfer.
During the war.
During the war? So in the 1930s.
VW.
Some of you might remember Herbie, number 53.
Yeah.
There was a movie that was made about the Käfer named Herbie, number 53. Some of you will remember it. I see some smiling faces, so yes, some of you remember that. Well, when they came out of the plant in the 30s, they looked beautiful, right? They were new. They were beautiful, no rust, nothing was broken. But now, as they moved into the 70s, the 80s, you saw some of these old Beetles. They were in an old barn. They were sitting in an old yard, and they were rusty, and parts were missing, and etc., etc. And then we know, of course, there are some people that had a heart for the Beetle, that had a heart for number 53. They had a heart for Herbie, and they brought him into their own barn, they brought him into their own yard, and they started to work. Some of them did it as a job, restoration. Some of them did it at night, after work. So they went to work during the daytime, and at night they said to their wives, it's time, I have to go to the Beetle, and I have to repair something. Night after night after night, weekend after weekend after weekend, and then all of a sudden those doors opened, and everybody looked at it and said, wow, that is beautiful. It is like new. How did you do it? What happened? How much time did it take? Where did you get all the parts? Where did you find that part? Because there's a shortage of those parts. And questions like that came about. Restoration. And of course, we see it also with houses. We see it with yards. We see it with barns. We see it in many different respects. There is a word in the Bible that connects to the concept of restoration. And it is the word renewed. There is a word in the Bible that is a Greek word, anakoinosis. And the word means, when you look at it up in the word dictionaries, it means renovation. It is renewal. And brothers and sisters, I would like to suggest that as believers in Christ, we are in that same process. And can you imagine if Herbie could speak? If number 53 could speak, if that old Beetle could speak, when he sees that man coming to the barn, if he could speak, he would say, oh yes, tonight he is going to fix this part. Tomorrow night he is going to fix that. And in 2 days the new part comes in. And ultimately it would all lead to that famous moment when Herbie came out of the yard, when Herbie came out of the barn, and that everybody said, how is that possible? And again, if Herbie could speak, Herbie would say, well, how did it come about? It came about night by night, day by day, weekend by weekend, every time something was fixed, every time something became more beautiful. Every time something became as it was in the 30s when I first rolled off that bent. Today we want to speak about three passages where that word renewal or restoration is used. The first passage is in our reading that Andre did with us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It says in verse 16, "Wherefore we faint not, but though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day." There is the word in verse 16, the word renewed. And I'm reading from the English Standard Version. It says in verse 17, "For our light affliction, which is for the moment, worketh for us more and more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So Paul says, as believers, we are just like Herbie. As believers, we are like number 53. As believers in Christ, we are like that old beetle. It says, we faint not, but though our outward man is decaying. So the outward man is decaying. Young children, little babies, they have a skin that is very soft. There are no wrinkles, but look at Jim and Ruth. Look at me. We got wrinkles. We get older. On the outside, everybody can see you're getting older, right? Last week, somebody asked me, he said, "How old are you?" I said, "Well, 43. And you could see the smile on his face. It's like, that's not true. That cannot be. I can see it on your face. I can see it on your wrinkles. I can see it on this or that." The Bible says the outward man is decaying, but the inward man is renewed day by day. How beautiful that is. You often heard me use the words, "What a great adventure that we are going together with Jesus. What a privilege that God wants to work within us, not on the outside, but on the inside. What an adventure it is that God says, it's like Herbie, it's like number 53, it's like that beetle. I'm going to restore you. I'm going to fix day by day. I'm going to fix all these little things." And so, as the Bible says in the book of Galatians, "Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, revelries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these." When Paul talks about the works of the flesh, he says God is working in you. He is restoring. He is repairing. A little bit less jealousy, a little bit less materialism, a little bit less sensuality, a little bit less enmity, a little bit less of that mouth that is not always speaking the right things, and so forth. That is what God wants to do in our lives. Isn't that a great adventure? Isn't that wonderful? And yes, I know. The Bible says it might hurt. The The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, when God is restoring, when God is reworking that Herbie, that number 53, that's not always easy, but it's something that is very good. And that is what the Bible helps us to understand. And the Bible says it is a day-by-day restoration. And how beautiful that is. A day-by-day restoration. And of course, that also means, as believers in Christ, as we emphasized this morning in our Bible study, it is so important that we read that word. It is so important that we know what is right and what is wrong. It is so important that we know what is sound. It is so important that we learn from God. But the Bible also says in Philippians chapter 2, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And what does it say in the next verse? For it is God who works in you both the will and to do. And what are those last three words? For his good pleasure. What about the man who designed the beetle? He looks at that beetle coming off the bend, or how do you call that in English? Coming off the assembly line, and he looks at it and he says, yes, this is what I designed. This is what it should have been. And he looks at it and he looks at it again and he says, yes, this is it. Look at it, my brothers, my sisters, look at it. God is in the same business. This is God's best business. Restoration. Because things have happened in this life that caused us to say, put it in the barn. It doesn't look so good anymore. Put it away, put it out of sight. And can you imagine that original engineer, that original designer, when he walks into that barn and he sees somebody working little by little, night after night, the light goes on, and he says, one more hour because I really want to get to that part. That is what God wants to do in our lives. A day-by-day restoration. And he's desirous to bring us into the image of Christ. Because what is the model? What is the model that God is using in his restoration work? The model he is using is like, here are we, and here is Jesus. And God uses Jesus as the model. Some of you have probably been in Zaanseschans, or in another place where they have the famous klompenmakerijen. Have you been there? We know how they make them, right? On the one side, they got the model, exactly how it should be. And on the other side, they have the rough piece of wood. And the equipment he is using is built on the original clock, so whatever the instrument is doing, it follows exactly the clock, whether he's doing something on the inside, whether he's doing something on the outside, and that is the design of true Christianity. Becoming like Jesus. And that is what God is using as model. A little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit less jealousy, a little bit less dishonesty, a little bit more love, a little bit more self-control, a little bit more love for God, a little bit love for our neighbor,
etc., etc. That is what God is doing.
A second passage, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20, says, "But you did not so learn Christ. If so be that you heard him and were taught in him, even as truth is in Jesus, that you put away as concerning your former manner of life the old man, that waxed corrupt after the deceit of lust, but that ye be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, that after God hath been created in true righteousness and holiness of truth."
There was a time in my life when I was a little boy, and I still remember that vividly. I still remember sometimes myself sitting in a corner, making my homework at home, 3 plus 3, 3 plus 5, 5 times 8, 4 times 7. I was never good in mathematics. And I remember so vividly still that I was like 4 or 5 years old maybe, and I was thinking to myself, this is not going to work. This is not for me. I'm never going to be good in mathematics. I will never be able to say how much is 4 times 7. I will never be able to say how much is 8 minus 3. There was a time that I so vividly remember I was in that little spot on my own. I felt lonely. I felt deserted. I felt desperate because I was looking at it and I said, I'm just never gonna get it. I tried it. I tried it. I tried it. I tried it and it didn't work. Well, about 50 years later, it worked. Somehow, somewhere, it worked. My father helped me, my mother helped me, my teacher helped me. It worked. Brothers and sisters, are you dealing with some of your weaknesses? Are you dealing with stuff in your life that you say, God, I know you're big. I know you can do miracles. I know you can do wonders, but what about this in my heart? It's so ingrained. It has been there for so long. It has been there for so long, and it is my weakness. God, can you even repair that? And of course, we know that God says yes. Ephesians 4:23 again. "And that ye be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, that after God had created in true righteousness and holiness of truth." Now, those two words, the word righteousness, we can explain it in a long way, but the word righteousness has the word right in it. And it basically means right, standing aright in the sight of God. The word holiness is a word that means apart. It means different. Combine those two words together. What is right and what is different. What is heavenly. That is what we are called to be in the spirit of our mind. And put on the new man. And then sometimes I have to say, God, what about this? It remains sometimes difficult. Sometimes it is hard, and it remains hard sometimes. But as Herbie would tell you, just give yourselves over in the hand of your restorer. Just give yourself over. Just give yourselves over in prayer and a devoted life to him. Just be ready Just be available. Don't just run out of that shed. Don't just run out of that yard. Just trust in your restorer and he will do it. He has the knowledge and he has the capability. And so when you look at Scripture, how often does Scripture not tell you, meditate and ponder upon the great works of God? And then we can say, God, I know nothing is impossible for you. And that is our God who says, nothing is impossible for me. So, brothers and sisters, whatever we are struggling with, whatever we are dealing with that stands in the way through righteousness and holiness, God can do it. God can do it. And all that God is asking is, be available. Allow me to do the work that I want to do in your life. That is why the Bible says, don't even be afraid, and I'm paraphrasing, don't even be afraid of difficulties. Don't be afraid of hard times. Don't be afraid of difficult times, because it is especially those things that brings perfection in your faith. When hard times come, the smile does not have to disappear. When hard times come, our joy does not have to disappear. It is only a sign that God is working hard at maybe some of those things that are your weaknesses, that are the difficult parts for God to fix. Because Herbie will also tell you there were some times that were not easy. Herbie will tell you there were some times when my restorer had to take some difficult measures. But the restorer knew what he was doing. He looked at it. He looked at it again as a true restorer. And he said, I know what needs to be done. Herbie, it's going to hurt you, but it's going to be okay. I'm in control. And brothers, that is our God. The third passage says in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service, and be not fashioned according to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Again, we have the word renewal or renewing of your mind. And then it says that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect. Think about Herbie when he came out of that barn. Everybody said, how is that possible? But he said, look at me, I'm living proof. My restorer did it. My restorer worked night after night after night, and now I came out of this barn to the praise of my restorer. So that is the design of Christianity. That is the design of Christianity, that God is able to live within us and through us. And when he is working in us and through us, then people will start to see changes in your life. And they will say, Evgeny, what happened to me? What happened to you? Last year, you were this and this and that, and now I see a change. People will say, Tanya, what happened in your life? Gerard, Cor, everybody. That is what people should ask us. What happened to you? Because I know you from 3 or 4 years ago. I know you from 2 years ago. I know you even from yesterday. Remember, there is a renewal day by day. And then we can testify of the greatness of God. And then we can say, you know, it's not about me, but it's God working in me. And so that is the way that we prove what is good, what is acceptable, and what is the perfect will of God. But what do we see today, brothers and sisters? We see a religious world that is divided to the core. Yesterday, I was talking to somebody, and he was speaking about one of the branches of Protestantism in Calvinism. My background is in Calvinism, but I did not quite know the little branch that he was talking about. And I said, you know, can you explain that to me? And he said, well, in 1953, there was a man, and this man said it needs to be a little bit this and it needs to be a little bit that. And ultimately, he said, you know, it's just strange, because it was more about personalities than it was about the true teaching. And so, in the last 2,000 years, what has happened? So much division. So many denominations, they all have their own color, they all have their own ways of coming into Christ. But let's leave that aside. The question is, what about us? The question is, what about me? Do I allow God to do the restoration work within me that is needed? That is the question. We don't have to talk about somebody else. Let's talk about ourselves. Let that be the question that is put on our heart this morning. Am I allowing God to do the restoration that He wants to do? And again, we know the model is Christ. The model that God is using is Christ. That is what God wants to transform us into every day a little bit more. And so again, the question is, what about me? Do I allow God to do His restoration work within me? It's a day-by-day process. And we know that God's hands are perfect. Sometimes we even might say, God, this is a little bit too hard. But the Bible says, that cannot be, because I will not give you more than you can bear. The book of Job proves it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 talks about it. He doesn't give us more than what we can bear because He loves us. And the definition of love is, I'm not gonna give you more than you can handle. But again, sometimes we might ask that question, but it doesn't come from the right source. The right source says, it's okay. The right source says, I am with you. The right source says, I'm not gonna leave you alone. When I was in Canada, I worked on a dairy farm. And the farmer himself, he went to the barn 10 o'clock at night just to make sure that the cows were okay. Then at 11:30, he went to bed and he just made one more quick round just to make sure that everything is okay with my cows. That is a picture of God, always concerned about His people. But He is also concerned that we grow into the image of Christ. So brothers and sisters, that is the question. Do we allow God to do the work that He wants to do within us? It's easy to say, I'm a Christian. Martin, as you said with the Lord's Supper, lip service is easy. It's easy to say, I love God. It's easy to say, I'm a Christian. It's easy to say, I follow Jesus. But are we willing to look into the mirror of truth and see what is still lacking and don't walk away? Too many people see things lacking, but they walk away. That is what James talks about. They walk away. Look into the mirror of truth. Don't walk away and allow God to do the restoration that he wants to do to his praise and his glory and his honor. Amen.